Welcome to the Springs Church Podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives.
Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness.
Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God.
Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how Holy Spirit, the Bible, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
Well, if you don't know me, my name's Eden. I'm one of the pastors here at Springs and had the blessing and privilege of being able to grow up in this church. So I grew up in a pastor's home and he grew up in a pastor's home. So my grandparents preached the word, got to listen to them from a young age teaching God's word before they went home to heaven. My dad preached the word for so much of my life before he went home to heaven, and it just kind of got in my bones. I just really enjoy teaching the word and just seeing what it's done in I've seen years of people living God's word, and I've seen the evidence not only in my life, but in so many families and people of Springs, and it's so good. God is so good, and it's just a blessing that he gives us his word, and it's not just for the ministers. It's not just for the teachers. You know, we are here to equip you to go and do the ministry, and so the word of God is something that longs to live on every single one of our mouths, that we teach it to our children, that we speak of it with our spouse, that we find ways to give God glory wherever we can. It's just such a gift, this word of God. And I would have nothing to say without this. This is where we get everything that we teach, everything that we learn to live by is the word of God. It's his presence. And so I pray that your heart would just be open to know that God is for you, that he loves you, that he's written this book, that you would succeed in everything you do, because what he's calling you to do, he's calling you to do it with him. And when you have decided, I'm following Jesus and I'm sticking with the maker of the universe, of heaven and earth, man, there ain't nothing that can stand in your way. No giant, no Red Sea, no walls, no nothing that would make you feel like you can't overcome, because we have the victory in Christ Jesus. And I pray that I just bring some new knowledge to you today. What do you know? What do you don't know? The Bible has a lot to say about what we know and how knowing things can have a huge impact in your life. And knowing comes from thinking, your thoughts, your mind, and I wanna dive into that today. But before we jump right into your mind, I wanna quickly preface it with, last week I got to share a message in Winnipeg and debated sharing it again to you, but I thought, no, I wanna keep speaking more stuff. So I'm giving you homework if you want. You can listen to Guard Your Heart from last week in Winnipeg. It's kind of on the same vein as today's teaching, but a little bit different. But last week I shared just the importance of guarding your heart. The Bible says that above all that you guard, that your heart is the most important. So there's something pretty special about that heart of yours. But in order to understand your heart, you need to understand how God made you, okay? And not everyone knows this. So 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we are a spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part being. It's very important because many of us are really connected to this body of ours. We begin to live for the body and do exactly what the feelings and the thoughts and our soul and our body seem to always be wanting, that first seat. But God is a spirit and he created us in his image, which means we are a spirit. The Bible teaches us that. And when we come to know God, when we come to believe on him, which scripture says, when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God loved the world, that he gave his only son to reconcile you to him, because you couldn't be everything you needed to be to reconcile yourself to God. There had to be a perfect savior, a Messiah who came and showed us how to live. Because the Bible says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. So when you read your Bible, when you learn about Jesus, everything he does, everything he says, everything he thinks and prays is available to you. Because as he is, so are you, which is unbelievable. So when you give your life to God, the Bible says that his spirit is then invited to come and live in your spirit. I'm talking forever, eternal life in God. And it's not that a little ounce of God goes in me and a little piece of God goes in you. No, the Bible's very clear that the full Godhead, the full presence of God comes to live in your spirit. Man, we could just focus on that the rest of our life and just unbelievable. And so you are a spirit. When you give your life to him, your spirit is filled with his presence. Those who don't know God yet, their spirit's dead. Their spirit is not even alive to the things of Christ. But that's why it's so beautiful that the church exists to teach people about the spirit that God made them. God made you, and you want to be with him because he'll fill you and you'll be the temple of God. And wherever you go, he goes. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but yeah, if I had the presence of God in me, I think, you know, Eden, I think I'd know. I think I'd feel a little different, you know? I'd speak to things. I'd walk on water. My children would listen all the time. All those things that we just paint in our mind, right? And we can't define what it means. We need to go to the Word of God to find out, okay, what does it mean for my spirit to have his spirit? What does it mean that I have a soul, that I have a body? Luckily and beautifully, we are blessed with all the truth that we need here to have everything we need for life and godliness. It's in us. But do we know it, okay? Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. If God made a bunch of robots, that's not love. God made children in his image and gave us the ability to decide who we're gonna be, how we're gonna live, even though there is truth about who we are, about who he made us to be, about what we can have in his love. We will not experience it unless we know it. Unless we learn of it, unless we grow in the knowledge of who God is and of who our Savior is. So this soul is so important. And when we look at the word, your heart, the Bible talks about believing with the heart, okay? And it says that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So the heart, when we look at scripture, and a lot of different Bible scholars and theologians and people who've studied it all agree when it comes to studying the scripture as a whole, that your heart is some kind of mixture of spirit and soul. So it's where spirit and soul connect. God's finished work, what Jesus did on the cross, nothing can change that. Nothing can corrupt that. It is set forever and ever. Jesus died in our place. He can be your Savior if you choose to make him your Savior. And his presence in you, not one wrong thought from you can change how much of him you have. Not one sin, not one mistake, not one horrible action could change the very presence that's in you, okay? That's in your spirit. But your mind, so your spirit is saved. The moment you give your life to Christ, always will be, but your mind has not been saved. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, I think it's the Amplified or the Message that says, you know, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, its customs, its ideology, its patterns of thinking, basically the things the world calls normal. And I think if you've been awake for a little while, you can tell the world's pretty messed up. You can tell that the way the world thinks a marriage, the world doesn't even believe in marriage, but the way the world thinks a relationship should work or what love is or what identity is, they are confused because Satan is the god of this world. This world is not governed by Jesus yet because Jesus has sent us on a mission to help people know him, to be his hands and feet, and to show them that there is a God who made them and loves them and can fill every need and desire that they have because he's their father. And they don't need to run to the world and all the ways of the enemy. And the enemy does not want you to know God. So he has set up the world in such a way, he tries his best in media, music, government, policies. He understands what governs a world and he's at work in those areas and he is trying his hardest to deceive, to lie. But the cool thing is that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, Jesus said. So even though we live in a corrupt world, we live in a world where there's evil and there's hate and there's an enemy, the world, God says that take heart because Jesus has overcome the world and that you can be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that you are more than a conqueror. So there are promises to us in this lifetime, okay? So it's not that, I just can't wait to get to heaven. I'm gonna know God in such a great way. God is not hiding anything of himself from you right now. You can have as much of God, you can know as much of him and his character and who he is as you want to right here, right now. You don't get to heaven and get more of him. His entire spirit, everything, his nature, who he is, what he has for you as a believer comes into your spirit and lives with you to the point where the Bible says his spirit and your spirit are actually one spirit. Wrap your brain around that one. That's exciting that we're one. I'm with my Father and I'm just with him and we're one. And it's incredible, but what your mind doesn't know, what you don't decide to know could be hurting and probably is hurting you somewhere in life right now. Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And what did he say is knowing the truth? Abiding in his word, living in accordance to his teachings. So he has made a way, he has given us everything we need to learn and to grow, but it involves your mind, it involves your will, it involves your thinking, so much so that this is the promise that today's verse was inspired by, but I needed you to, in case no one had heard the spirit, soul, body thing, and it's a whole nother teaching in itself that I can't dive into today, but I wanted to set some groundwork for it, that this mind that God's entrusted to you is your responsibility. We got to take accountability and ownership of the way that we think. No one can control your mind. You get to choose what you fix your mind upon. And Isaiah 26:3 shows us that. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So staying our mind on God starts with trusting him, right? Knowing who he is, finding out what his nature is, that he's love, that he's joy, that he's good from generation to generation, that he's faithful, that his unfailing love has been here, that he loved you before the foundations of the world, that he has a plan for you, that he has, man, I'm quoting so much scripture right now, but as you learn and you know of him, you go, who wouldn't trust this guy? You gotta be an idiot not to trust God. Because look at what he's done and look at the extents of what he's done to show his love. That he gave his one and only son. That he turned his, it went dark. God turned away from Jesus at one point on the cross. I couldn't imagine being severed from my one and only son while Jesus said that even if they don't choose me, I want to give them every reason to choose me because I love them and I want to spend forever with them in heaven. He loves us so much. So it starts with trusting in him. And as you learn to know him, man, your trust, it'll just come naturally. As you learn to know who he is and how you learn it is through his word, then all you want to do is keep your mind on him because the truth is coming in and it's washing away the filth, the lies that maybe you were taught as a child. Maybe you had parents maybe who didn't know God, or maybe you had a teacher, or you were at a boarding school, or I don't know what you were subjected to, but no matter what you've been subjected to, no matter what you learned, no matter patterns of thinking that you've adopted from the world, you can change. And that has got to be one of the most exciting truths in the Bible, is that you can allow God's word to change you, because that's what it means to renew your mind. You take the word of God, and it's not you working tirelessly and this is so hard and I don't know how to change my mind. It just says, say no to the world, say yes to God's word, and start to read it, and it's the very presence of God. The Bible says it's his spirit, it's his life, it's power, it's water, it washes away the filth, and God's spirit in you, because you choose with your soul, with your will, I'm gonna know him. I'm going to know him better than I know myself. I'm going to know him better than I know my spouse, better than I know my children. He should be my first love, right? And there is a knowing of God that we are called to, we are invited into, that I would never want any of you to be robbed of in this lifetime. Because when you get to heaven, you don't want to go, oh, I didn't know that about you. You want to go, wow, I knew that would be here. Oh man, you're so much better than I thought. But yeah, I know your love. I know your joy. I know that, like, there's nothing holding us back from knowing God except our maybe selfishness or worries to confess that we got something wrong, that we failed in some way, but yet he is our victory. So it doesn't matter our failures and our shortcomings. What matters is that we know we can bring all of us to him and we can allow his power, his word to strengthen us and change us. Because who we are in the spirit is perfect, but our mind, we need to renew that. And when the spirit and the soul agree, when the spirit, which you learn who the spirit is and who you are in Christ all through here, when you bring knowledge of it to your mind and you set your mind on God, he keeps you in perfect peace. You don't keep you in perfect peace. He keeps you in perfect peace. The maker of the universe, the one who never gets tired or weary, the word says, the one who's always for you, the one who knows the beginning from the end, the one who was here before light existed, before people existed, and he's just good. He's just love. That's why he created us, because he longed for family. He longed to if you're love, you need something to love. And he had Jesus and Holy Spirit, but he still longed for us. How beautiful is that? And when we choose where we stay our mind, it affects our whole life. So sometimes people get too spiritual about life and, oh, well, if God wants me to be happy, he'll make me happy. And if God wants me to have peace, he'll bring peace in my life. Okay, Jesus already won the peace. Jesus is your peace, right? Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So everything you need for life and godliness is inside of you, in your spirit, the Bible says. How do you bring it out? It's through the knowledge of Jesus and God and getting your thinking and your mind in agreement with what is true about you in the spirit is what pulls it out into the physical, into this body. You get two against three, your soul and spirit, your body's just, all right, I guess we're following these guys, right? And so it's so important that we understand that God is saying in this one verse, how you think dictates whether or not you live in perfect peace. That's big. That's a big revelation. To me, that's exciting. I always get excited because if God says that I can stay my mind on him, then I know I can do it. Because he's my maker. He designed me. He knows how I work. He knows how he built me. And if he calls me to do something, he calls me to do it with him because his spirit is in me. So everything I decide to do when I'm choosing his truth and I'm choosing to learn of him, he's right there counseling me, guiding me with his voice, his spirit. And so everything I choose to do it in him. It's just the greatest miracle in the world. And so when we stay our mind upon him, he keeps us in perfect peace. Well, how do we stay our mind upon him? We need to learn of him. We need to renew our mind. What it means to renew your mind to the word of God is that you understand that there are things that you think that are wrong. That there are patterns of thinking, there are patterns of behavior and feelings, how you respond to situations. You know, our quick responses, our reactions, our patterns of believing and thinking. Those have been poured into us from a young age. Some of them we had nothing to do, but the beauty of it is that God can take anything and change it. God can take anything. And he can show you how to bring healing through his spirit and rebuild something that might even feel so confused, so chaotic. But then we have to realize I've been trying to fix something in my own understanding. I've been trying to do it in my own way. And what does the Bible say? There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. So basically, as a believer, we decide I'm not even trusting my own thoughts. Every thought that comes to me, the Bible says, take captive every thought. I think some Christians who've learned this verse kind of don't even realize that they're doing it with just the bad ones. When I have a negative thought, when I have a bad thought, I'm gonna take that one captive and I don't like how I feel. So I'm gonna find out what God's word says. And yet there's all these little thoughts or maybe patterns of thinking that don't line up with God's word that we don't realize are hurting us because they're not like big red warning signs. But yet we're going in a way that's wrong. And the only way to find out, am I living the way, the truth, the life? Am I following Jesus? Is to learn about Jesus, to learn about how he thinks, how he behaves, how he lives, and adapt that as that's who I am. That's how I'm called to live. And you say, Lord, because you're not capable of doing this on your own, but you show him your heart because the Bible says the man does, God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at our heart. And so when you have a willing heart, you have an open heart that just says, God, I know I can't do this in my own strength. I've felt the shortcomings where I try to make something work in my own strength, and it sure doesn't work. So Lord, would you help me? I want to fix this area of my life. I've been feeling frustrated. I've been freaking out at my spouse or my kid, and I know it's not your way. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like perfect peace. It's not that strength, that firm foundation. Lord, I desire that you would teach me in this. I've been wrong here. I don't want to go down the way that I think is right and then find out it's death. So God is so merciful. He's so good. He doesn't let us miss it. But if you want to be so full of yourself and think, I don't need help, I'm going to just keep going the way I go because I couldn't bother. Well, we'll just see how that works out for you. But the word shows us that we should be listening to his voice, that we should be trusting him. Let God be true in your life. It's the best decision anyone can make is to surrender it to God, because when we do stay our mind on him, he keeps us in perfect peace. Well, when you look in the dictionary, the word stay means to remain in a specified state or position. And it's actually an action word. It's a verb. You'd think stay means like idle, right? But like we're actively staying with him. We're putting ourselves in a position of keeping our mind on who is God. No matter what's happening in the education system or the government, what has he promised us? What belongs to a believer in Christ Jesus? I better find this out. I better make sure my soul knows who I am so that when calamity comes my way, when chaos comes my way, when a storm comes my way, I know who I am and I know the authority I have in that, and that I won't succumb to the way I think is right, but I take every thought captive and I bring it into obedience to Christ. I want it to listen to what Jesus says is the way to build healthy relationships. I want to listen to what God says is the way to have healthy emotions, to be a wife, a mom, a leader, a teacher, a friend, whatever you are, whatever positions you hold, whatever is on your life, the abilities, the gifts, the dreams that you guys have, God wants to be a part of every bit of it. And how we stay our mind and what we stay our mind on is of utmost importance. So it's an active state, being stayed upon God. But look at this. This is so cool. I love to read the word in the New King James Version or the New Living Translation. And then when I read something, and if I want to meditate on it, right? I want to study, what does this promise mean? And I want to really visualize it and let it light up my imagination, because God is a God of imagination. He wants you to picture his life, his promises in your life and meditating on it. I'll go to the Amplified, one of my favorite, probably because my dad spoke from it a lot when I was younger. It dives into the Greek and the Hebrew, because the Bible was not first written in English. It's not its first language. So when you translate something in it, sometimes you miss those little nuances or those the fullness of an expression of a word, right? You've seen that with some of your friends in different languages. Oh, what's the word for this? And what does it mean? Sometimes it's so hard to put language to this one word and exactly what it means in it. And so I love reading the word in different translations to get different impressions and to pull out the juice, if you'd say, from the, like, you know. So the Amplified does that in the Greek and Hebrew. And then the Passion Translation, one that is newer, and often will visit the Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke, which is so cool. So I just love that you can dive in and you can learn so much. And instead of glancing over a verse and going, oh, that's nice, perfect peace, that you go, no, this is mine in Christ Jesus. I'm called to live in perfect peace. So what does that mean? And how do I do that? And you start asking God questions and you start actively saying, okay, my faith, it's gonna be active. I wanna walk with God and learn how to do this. And he knows you and he loves you. And when your heart opens to him, you can't miss it. You can't miss his guidance. You can't miss him teaching you, because he knows you better than anybody else. But how many know that when you have a student, you need a willing student to really learn something? You need a student that goes, ah, teach me everything you know, right? I don't know any names for these positions, but like the best golfer in the world, the best basketball player, the best artist, the best pianist or celloist, if that's something you do and it's a hobby or something you love, imagine sitting down with the best of the best and learning from them. That is what you get access to every moment of every day with God. Yet he's not an expert in one area, he's an expert in all areas. And he loves you and he cares about you and he knows your children and he knows your spouse and he knows their hearts as long as you, he is the best guide, the best way. And so when you begin to keep your mind on him and you learn of him and you find out what he wants for you and that he's got a plan, it's so easy to keep your mind on him the more you know of him and learn of him. So it's very vital that as believers, I encourage everyone to have some kind of Bible reading plan, that you're in this word every day, whether it's one verse that you're doing what I'm doing with you right now, where we're just meditating on Isaiah 26:3, and we're breaking it down word by word. What does it mean? Open up your dictionary. Maybe it references another verse. Sometimes it'll pull you to another verse. Flip there and read that and just chew on it, meditate on it, think about it. Or maybe it's a chapter a day, or maybe you want to read the whole Bible in a year, whatever your heart feels you need to do. But remember that it's not about how much, and it's about the quality in which you receive from what you're learning, that you're being a student of what you learn. You're not just trying to flip through and get it all in your brain. You're trying to know him and experience him. So slow down. Have you ever tried to like rush your dating life? That doesn't work. You can't like, all right, I got half an hour. Let's 20 questions. Let's go. You know, like, it's not how it works. A relationship's meant to be enjoyed and in the stillness, right? God says, be still and know that I'm God. And there's something to that, just finding stillness in your day where it's just you and him, and maybe you're on a walk, or maybe you're listening to the audio Bible in your ears, or there are so many ways to get the Bible into your day today. It is, I think Apostle Paul would be like, man, you guys are spoiled. Like, from where they were 2,000 years ago to where technology has brought us today, for how much that we could keep our mind on God and all the tools that we have available to help us to do that, we got no excuse. We got no excuse, is all I'm saying. So he keeps and guards. So Amplified, let's dive in. Isaiah 26:3, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace. Okay, so the Amplified is now kind of stretched out what perfect peace means, and it means constant peace. You are called to constant peace in this life. In heaven, there will be constant peace no matter what, because it's an environment with no issues, no enemy, blah, blah, blah. But in earth, no matter what we face, you can have constant peace. And God guards it and keeps it when you keep your mind on him, because he can't control your mind, but you can submit it to him. You can surrender it to him. You can say, Lord, I want your ways. I want your thoughts. But let's look at what guard and keep means. Guard means to watch over in order to protect or control, to protect against damage or harm. So God, the God of the universe, he wants to guard your mind. When something is guarded, it's usually precious to whoever is guarding it, right? You guard something, it's valuable, it's precious. God knows that what you choose to think upon dictates your behavior, your feelings, your words, that even though you are perfect in the spirit, your soul needs to be educated upon who you are and needs to be accountable and surrendered to, this is who I am in Christ Jesus. And you need to begin that daily habit of letting him change you. From glory to glory, he's changing us. Yes, we're actively participating, but man, God does the real work of changing us from the inside out. And I know many of you have experienced that today. And some of you, as you taste and see that the Lord is good, you're gonna see. As you renew your mind, the end of Romans 12:2 says, when you renew your mind, then you will prove to yourself the pleasing and perfect and acceptable will of God. So God knows his beautiful, perfect will, but you don't know it until you know it, until you take it in, and you'll prove it to yourself and you'll go, wow, isn't he good? Isn't he faithful? Whoa, I had no idea. And as you educate yourself, there is a peace that transcends all understanding as you fix your mind on Christ Jesus and you set your mind on things above, Colossians says. That when we are crucified with Christ, we were brought back to life in him. That we're supposed to see ourselves in him. He's seated in heavenly places, so we're seated in heavenly places because he took our place. It's as if we went to the cross, but he did it. So we are supposed to see ourselves in him. And if we see ourselves in Jesus, we know this earth is not for us. This world has nothing for us. And the Bible says to set our mind on things above. There are so many things being robbed of us today because we are staying our mind on silly things, staying our mind on offense. Why did so-and-so say this to me? Oh, I just am so frustrated that, and we're focusing on things that are out of our control. I can't control the way you think about me. I could sit you down for a day and try to prove to you what I'm like, and I promise this is my heart, and did it. What a waste of time. Because the Bible says, don't judge, or you'll be judged. The Bible says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. It says it's a backwards way of living, but don't you think God knows the best way to live? So the world's way, the way that might come natural, we have to know that's not God's way. That's not God's way. I need to go to the Word and find out his ways. And you'll find that as you're learning his scripture, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit who dwells in your spirit, his job is to bring all things to remembrance that you've studied, that you've learned, and is to bring you remembrance of Jesus. So if you don't know what Jesus said, Holy Spirit is gonna have a real tough time bringing to remembrance what he said, what he's promised to you, who you are in Christ Jesus. And so when we get a revelation that I can keep my mind where I want to keep my mind, and that I'm gonna be responsible, and that I'm gonna keep telling God, Lord, my heart's yours. I wanna follow in your steps. I wanna do what Jesus did, because Jesus said that those who believe on him, those who follow in his way, will do even greater things than he did. That's incredible. That is what we are all called to, not just pastors and evangelists and missionaries. Every single believer is called to go into the world and preach the gospel. But if you don't know the gospel, if you're not educating your mind and renewing it and taking captive the thoughts that are filthy and perverted and twisted and tormenting you, and if you didn't know you could take them captive, when you find out, you go, guys, this is the best news ever. When I think something, I don't have to live there all day. I don't have to accept it. I can reject it. Don't be conformed to this world. So when that thought comes, what do? How do you keep your mind on God? Well, you learn his word and I get it out my mouth. When I think a thought that is of failure, that is of envy or gossip or strife or whatever it might be, and you know because you went to the word and you go, oh, okay, so I'm not supposed to get even. Oh, shoot. So I'm supposed to forgive. Oh, how many times a day? Wow, that's a lot of... It's like God knew that people would give you a lot of reasons to get offended. But he's saying, don't even bother. Why? Why give your peace away? They didn't give you your peace. I gave you your peace. So why would you give it away? Why would you let other people affect who you are by letting your mind stay upon them or stay upon the situation or stay upon the sickness? Jesus bore my sickness. I was healed on that cross. So what I have, I need. But I have to take responsibility for the way I think, and I have to tell my mind, you are not gonna run rampant, you little sucker, and I'm gonna protect what I put in here, and I'm not gonna allow, right? Amen, and we are all capable of this, and it's our kids need us to do this. No matter how old your kids are, man, they're watching you. Even if you're a grandma today, we are a testimony to the people around us, and at any point in our life, we can start renewing our mind. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to fix something, because let God come in and show you and lead you and guide you, and he's gonna guard it. He's gonna protect your peace. He is gonna watch over it. And then to keep means to have or retain possession of. Cause to continue in a specified condition, a position, a course. So as you stay your mind on him, you know him, which is just staying in relationship with him, letting him be a part of your every day, your every decision. As you stay your mind upon him, what can he do? As you stay on the path with him, he's able to guard you. He's able to protect you. He's able to keep you. Why? because you're listening to his voice. You're saying, God, I may have got it wrong here. I want your counsel. I want your direction. And the only way he can guide you is if you let him, is if you surrender to him and yield to him, not fear, not the world, not worry, not what the best expert in whatever field says today. Well, like, who made the universe, and who made the animals and the plants, and who made the ability to think and feel, and who gave us everything that's good and perfect comes from God. So when you get knowledge, you'll stop blaming God for the evil things, because it's very clear that he does not kill, steal, or destroy. Only Satan comes to do that. So it helps clear up so much muck when you take responsibility to know him. And yet, as you read, don't think of it as a book. It's a relationship. It's like sitting down with him in the living room and imagine what his voice might sound like. Put some personality to him. He's got a personality. He's got characteristics. He's got a nature to him, and he's in you. And it says that you can hear his voice, and it says that he leads you with that still, small voice. Why is it still? Why is it small? Because he's so close, he doesn't need to scream. He's with you. He's as close as your breath. He's in you. He's with you as a believer, and you can't miss it, because he knows when you stand. He knows when you sleep. He knows a thought before it comes to you. He knows what's about to go on your lips before you speak it. So don't you think he's the best filter? The other day, I was talking to my husband, and I was going to say something, and I stopped myself. He was like, what are you going to say? I'm like, nope, not going to say it. Doesn't line up with what God says. It was just a stupid thought. I'm taking it captive, and I'm not speaking it. So don't ask me again. That is the activity of letting the word renews your mind, and you catch yourself. And even though you want to give your spouse a piece of your unrenewed mind, or you realize, nope, this is not what God did. No, I know. I've been reading about this. I remember. And Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. Eden, wouldn't be very fruitful to say that. And you catch yourself. And you take responsibility, and you go, thank you, Lord. You believe in me so much. You just help me not make a fool of myself, you know? But I had to partner with him, right? He'll bring those promptings. There'll be an intuition, a knowing. Oh, I shouldn't answer the phone of this person. It always ends in, you start to get these inclinations, and you realize, thank you, Lord, that's you. I've been spending time with you, so I'm going to hear your voice. I'm going to listen for it in every decision. Two things, and then we're done. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 kind of sums up this keeping your mind on him. In the Passion Translation, it says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. I wonder if that's a breath of fresh air for some of you, that you're not supposed to trust yourself. Oh, because this world is all about self. Love yourself. Know your truth. How you feel is real. No, it's not. No, how you feel is evidence of what you've been thinking. And what if you've been thinking a lie? That's dangerous, right? So we go to God. We go to the author of life. We go to the one who's always been good. We don't rely on our own opinions. With all of your heart, what's your heart? Spirit and soul. Spirit's done. It's complete in God. It's his part. Soul is your part. You begin to learn this word. You begin to speak this word. You begin to take every thought captive to it. Your soul and spirit line up, and it's, oh Lord, have my heart. I want to rely on you. And it says that he'll guide you. He will lead you in every decision you make. Did you know that God wants to be a part of every decision you make? Did you know that life abundant is bringing God into every decision you make? And it might seem so trivial. Well, God doesn't care about what TV show. Are you kidding me? He sure cares what TV show, what you watch. He knows what filth is in a lot of Hollywood and a lot of the shows out there. You want to believe what God says, but then watch people who go fully against the word all day in some show that makes you entertained? God can entertain you far better than any TV tell him, Lord, I want something in my leisure time that restores me and revives me. And Miracle Channel and Corco, they've got some awesome programming that's faith-based and teaching you who you are. And God knows. He knows your desires. He put the beautiful desires in you, and you can make him part of every decision. And whatever that's on your heart, you can bring it to him and say, Lord, I trust that you're going to guide me in this, and you're going to show me, and you're going to lead me. It might be information that comes through a friend or through a Google search or in your Bible. All of a sudden you read a verse the next day and you're like, God, if I told you how many of you come to me on a Sunday and go, Eden, I was asking God about this the other day. I'm like, well, God answered your prayer, didn't he? Like, he will use, all he does is use people. He can only use people. He'll speak to your spirit, but if you're not listening and you're second guessing it, he'll find other ways to confirm his word to you, to bring a book, to bring a pastor, to bring a friend who tells you what they're learning in the word. And you're like, huh, I've been thinking about that. Well, you probably should act on it, because faith acts. Faith believes something and goes for it, because, well, God says I can have that. So I'm going to set my faith there. I'm going to put my mind there. Amen. So we trust in him completely. He wants to be a part of every decision you make. But listen with this, become intimate with him in whatever you do. This is something that I have been setting my mind on a lot lately. God, how can I bring you into everything I do? I want to become intimate with you in everything I do. Eden, God doesn't care about laundry. He cares about me while I'm doing the laundry. He cares that my kids have clean clothes. He cares that our home is comfortable and that we worship him in our home and that we find ways to take care of ourselves. He cares about everything that's good and pleasing, and he wants to show you how to overcome those thought patterns that maybe you've been stuck on. But you got to get ready to go, Lord, change me. I'm ready. I want to change these thought patterns. I want perfect and constant peace, and I want to bring you into whatever I do. And this intimacy, sometimes that scares men, the word intimacy. It's like feminine or something, but it's not. Intimacy is that closeness, that when God calls you to do something, you know him so well. And this is the journey with God. You begin to put the scripture in your heart so well that, oh, we didn't get there yet, in the Amplified, that your inclination and your character, in the Amplified it says, whose mind is stayed on you. In brackets it says, your inclination and your character. That as you learn the word, your instincts, they change. Isn't that awesome? How you used to react, what you were inclined to before, changes. The moment you say, Lord, I want your word in my heart. I want this relationship to be part of everything I do. I want to be intimate with you no matter what I set my hand to, no matter what project I'm in, so that I'm always calling on you for help and that I'm not seeing myself as the strength. He's the strength. When I'm weak, he's strong. You know, and so when we get a revelation, all we want to do is stay our mind on him. But isn't it exciting that your inclinations can change? That the very character of who you are? I've met people who said, man, this guy that I went to school with, I would never have thought he would have been a believer. He's a different guy. And many of you know this. When you came to know God, you look back. I look back on some parts of my life and how I used to react, and I go, I'm different. Wow, that's cool. That's cool that God's changed me, that what I was inclined to do, I don't want to do that anymore. I know that it leads to death. I know that I don't trust my own opinion. I want to make sure my opinion is God's opinion first, and then I'll trust it, right? I want him to be that standard, that setting my mind on things that are above. It says, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. I didn't get to get to it, but I want to mention it really quick. I'm a little over, but Mark 4, Jesus talks about how the measure of thought and study that you give something is the measure that comes back to you. And I think the enemy is robbing a lot from people who decide, I can't understand the Bible, Eden. It's just too hard. You know, it's stories, it's parables, and I don't know if I can know God. Well, yeah, you won't, because the measure of thought that you give to it is the measure that comes back to you. And Jesus said that be careful. What you hear, when you hear the truth, apply thought to it. Take time, meditate on it, study it. Believe that you can know it. Don't be frustrated that you don't understand it yet. Be like, Lord, you love me. You wrote this for me. And even though my mind isn't quite understanding it yet, I'm going to get excited that there's something in here for me. And I'm going to give a measure of thought and study to it. Because what does the enemy do? He gets you to try to give all your measure of thought and study to offense, envy, to covetousness, jealousy, to getting revenge, to competition with your spouse. Sometimes I realize I'm competing with my spouse and I'm like, Eden, what the heck are you doing? Like, well, I did the dishes yesterday and you know, and it's like, what are we setting our mind on here? What are we, and Lord, there's a better way. And so So what are we giving our thought to? I hope that's what ring true for you today, is that the thoughts, the thinking, where you lean your understanding to, it will consume you. Do you want to be consumed by offense? Do you want to be consumed by turmoil and envy and grief and sorrow? Or do you want to know that Jesus bore your grief on the cross? He bore your sickness on the cross. Where do you want to set your mind? Because in Jesus, it's life. Amen? And in knowing him is life, and you can know him. You set your mind on him and you just watch the perfect and constant peace, because God guards that as you stay the course with him. He wants to lead you and be a part of your every day, your every moment. How much does he love us? So much. So much. I'd love to pray for you. God, I just thank you for this love. I thank you for that revelation that's been just lavished on us today, that I've been able to share what you've put in my heart, what your word says. I pray, Lord, that walls are coming down right now, Lord, that ways of thinking are being destroyed in the name of Jesus, that truth has come in. And God, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I speak freedom over minds today, that there would be a new decision to take this word and know it better than we know anything else, because we are not of this world. We are just like Jesus, and we can have what Jesus has because you live in us. And I pray this revelation would brim over like a fountain, a gushing fountain, Lord, that it would begin to change us inside and out, change our home, change our neighborhoods, this church, Lord. We are called to great and mighty things in your name, and we will be a beacon of hope for this country and the people around us, Lord, as we take you at your word and we follow you every step, every moment. God, we thank you. You're so good, Lord. With every head bowed, if you'd like to know God and you don't know that you know him, I would love to lead you in a prayer. You know, the Bible says you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God loved the world, that he sent his son to die for me, that whosoever believes will have eternal life. And all you got to do is choose to believe that Jesus died for you. And you just tell God, I believe, and his spirit comes to live in you, like I talked about at the beginning of the message, and no one can take that away from you. Romans says nothing can separate you from the love of God. What a promise. So we'd love to lead you in that prayer right now. I don't know who I'm praying for, so if you don't mind raising your hand saying, I want to know God. I want to start a relationship with him. I want to follow Jesus and learn how to live this way. Thank you. Anyone else that we can pray with today? Thank you. Thank you. So good. So excited for you guys. Let's pray this prayer. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son. I believe that Jesus died for me. Today, I make him my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. Thank you that you're always with me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Congratulations.